This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is Riyad al-Razazi welcoming you all to the Sira series, Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we are with episode 46 from the Sira, Walking with the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. We're almost done with the series, 46 lectures, 46. You know, those of you who've missed out, you can always go back and watch the series. There, it's on my Facebook, it's on my Instagram, it's on the it's on my channel, YouTube. You would find all the series, for that matter. You know, you would find the series Walking with the Prophet. You would find the series The End of Time. You would find the series Homemade Happiness. You will find all the series on either, like, I'm, you know, especially on my Facebook, on my either Facebook or my YouTube channel. So brothers and sisters, those of you who welcome, I've got Facebook and I've got Instagram live. Today again, those of you who just joined, we're with episode 46 from the series Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Something in the air. So, about the Jannah. Yeah, it's that series about the Jannah. You can find it in the series Walk. It's called The End of Time. The End of Time, the end of it, like, you know, maybe about 4 or 5 lectures at the end, or maybe even 10 lectures at the end. We'll talk about Jannah. We can always, you know, revert back to them on the YouTube channel. At any rate, brothers and sisters, those of you who've, again, joined us, welcome, welcome, whatever you are, whatever, you know, from whatever you are. Let me quickly recapitulate what we talked about yesterday. We talked about Fath Makkah. The conquest of Mecca. When Prophet Muhammad entered Mecca, there was not a single blood being shed. Abu Sufyan came to embrace Islam, although he was not convinced. But if you remember, Prophet Muhammad, you know, went to him as Abu Sufyan looked into these convoy of armies entering, you know, Mecca. And then he was thinking to himself, you know, about collecting more soldiers and attacking Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. And then Prophet Muhammad goes to him behind him and he says, if you were to do so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will curse you and destroy you. And that's where he was convinced about Islam and about Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. Also, I spoke about this other boy, Sahabi, by the name of Fudala, when the Prophet Muhammad was making tawaf. And this man came and had a knife wanting to kill or wanting to assassinate the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet Muhammad went to him and he told him, ittaqillah ya Fudala. His name was Fudala. Ittaqillah ya Fudala. And then he kept on rubbing, you know, his heart, telling him, feel Allah, O Fudala, feel Allah, O Fudala. Fudala says, prior to that, wa alaikum salam, Facebook. He says, prior to that, Prophet Muhammad was the man I hated the most, and after that he became the man I loved the most. Subhanallah. He was the man I hated the most, and after that he became the man I loved the most. Wa alaikum salam, whatever you are, Facebook, Instagram, Saad and Twahman and Hafiz and MK Khan on Instagram and Elena Mastang Wedin Higher. And all of you, Yashmin, all of you out there, welcome, 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 wherever you are. Anyways, brothers and sisters, I was, you know, and then we talked about, you know, Prophet Muhammad again, you know, entering Mecca in that form, you know, in that convoy form with the soldiers, and each group of soldiers were appointed a flag, like the Ansar, like the Muhajirin, the other tribes, each had their own flag entering Mecca. Something really interesting happened. Okay, that Prophet Muhammad entered Mecca now, and then he started destroying those idols that were outside of the Kaaba. Because you see, the way it looked at the time, where there were idols everywhere in Mecca, But the majority of the idols were inside the Kaaba, right? There were some that were outside, you know, the places of Tawaf, and then there were some that were inside. So now that Prophet Muhammad and the Sahaba, they destroyed the others, you know, the ones that were outside. And then what was he saying? قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. You know, the truth has come and falsehood have been erased, have been terminated, have been eradicated. خلاص, there's no more falsehood. The الحق has come. The truth has come. So when the Prophet was destroying those idols and he kept saying, جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ, now he goes towards the Kaaba and he wants to enter the Kaaba, right? But the Kaaba is locked and the key happened to be in the possession of Banu Shayba, you know, the family of Banu Shayba. And those of you who are not aware, you know, each family from Quraysh, they had the privilege of owning something that has some sort of regard to, you know, of the Kaaba. Like, you know, who is responsible about watering the Hajjaj, the Abbas and his family, who is responsible about the clothing of the Kaaba. They're responsible about the, you know, about the keys of the Kaaba. So each family had that honor, right? So the key belonged to the family of Banu Shayba. So Prophet Muhammad, he called Uthman ibn Talha, and he became a Muslim, you know. But before he became a Muslim, when Prophet Muhammad was in Mecca, listen to this. When Prophet Muhammad was in Mecca, and nobody could enter inside the Kaaba unless that man, Uthman, who had the key, from his family had the key, right? Would let whoever wants to enter into the Kaaba in. But he has to come until today, so you know. Until today, no king, no leader, no president can enter inside the Kaaba. Even the king of Saudi Arabia, he cannot go inside the Kaaba unless the family of Banu Shayba come and, you know, someone from the family comes and who have the key, right? And let that person inside the Kaaba, right? So Prophet Muhammad called Uthman ibn Talha. Where is Uthman ibn Talha? Uthman ibn Talha came in. Uthman ibn Talha, before he became a Muslim, when Prophet Muhammad was in Mecca, one day Prophet Muhammad told him, "Ya Uthman, let me go inside, I want to pray inside." Uthman said, "No." The Prophet says, "Let me go inside and pray before a time comes, and I will get the key. Before time comes and I will get the key. And you won't get it back." Uthman says, "If that time comes, I'd rather, you know, dig my grave and die rather than seeing that day, you know, where I would lose possession of the key to the Kaaba." Prophet Muhammad says, "Give me the key. Let me go inside and pray before time comes. And you will not get, you know, you won't have those keys no more." And Uthman says, "I'd rather die than see that day." So Prophet Muhammad called Uthman when he entered Mecca now, right? Khalas, the Mecca has been conquered by the Muslims. Where's Uthman ibn Talha? Uthman ibn Talha came. How old was Prophet Muhammad? Those of you who are on Facebook and those of you who are on Instagram or who are in Instagram, how old was Prophet Muhammad when he conquered Mecca? Who knows? Don't Google it, brothers and sisters. Just tell me if you know. Don't Google it. How old was Prophet Muhammad when he conquered Mecca? When he came back to Mecca? Fath Mecca. And by the way, Fath Mecca happened in Ramadan. Fath Mecca happened in Ramadan. Yashmin, you're almost right. You're almost right. Somebody said 60. Somebody else? How old was Prophet Muhammad when he conquered Mecca, Fath Mecca? And Fath Mecca happened in Ramadan. Badr happened in Ramadan. Fath al-Andalus happened in Ramadan. Ramadan is the month of Fath. Ramadan is not the month of sleeping. Riyad, Ibtisam, Na'am, 61 years old. 61 years old. Ramadan is the month of Fath. It is the month of productivity. It is not the month of sleeping and waking up, you know, 5 minutes before iftar. That is not siyam. If you were to fast, you know, and spend the whole day you know, sleeping, and then you wake up a minute or two or five or half an hour before maghrib, yani, what have you benefited in terms of siyam, of fasting? Nothing. And unfortunately, in a lot of Muslim countries, when Ramadan comes, subhanAllah, the country becomes unproductive. People become unproductive. They sleep during the day and they wake up during the night. This is it's a norm, subhanAllah. It's like a tradition. Whereas Ramadan, it is the month of intaj, to become productive. Look, I'm talking about the majority of the futuh or futuhat, in Islam, like Fath Mecca, the conquest of Mecca, like Al-Andalus, the battle of who were the Muslims, Ain Jalut, the one famous battle between the Muslims and the Tatar, where the Muslims, mashallah, although they were outnumbered by the Tatar, the Mongol, the Muslims won, and that battle happened to be in Ramadan. Right, so do your research and look about the month of the Ramadan, the month of blessing. The battle of Badr happened in Ramadan, when the Muslims, the very first battle in Islam. So Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he called Talha. What is Uthman ibn Talha? Bismillah. This is Saudi coffee, huh? This is Arabi Saudi coffee, right? This is one of my favorites. Would you like to try some, huh? You like to? No? I'll drink on your behalf, okay? I'll drink on your behalf some Arabi Saudi Qahwa. Saudi Qahwa. Bismillah. Mm-hmm. Cheers. As the British, as the English, they say, cheers. Allah, ya salam. Allah yarham al-yadin wa yibarak fi al-yadin li sawatuhum ya rab. Fa I'm saying, brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, when he wanted to enter the the Kaaba, he called Uthman ibn Talha. What is Uthman ibn Talha? The Prophet, he says, "Ha ana ya Rasulullah." He says, "I need the key. I need the key." He says, "Ya Rasulullah." He says, "Ya Rasulullah, my mother has it. My mother has it." He says, "Okay, go and get it." So he went to his mom. He says, "Mom, Rasulullah wants the key to the Kaaba." She says, "No, I'm not giving it. If I were to give it to him, we shall never get it back. I am not taking it. I'm not giving it back. I'm not giving it." So Prophet Muhammad is waiting, he's waiting, he's waiting. And then Uthman hasn't come. So he sent, he sent Umar. And Umar, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عُمَرَ. Umar, go get me the keys. The key to the Kaaba. So Umar, he goes. And he just knocked at the door. So loud. Rasulullah is waiting for the key. Rasulullah is waiting for the key. Give me the key to the Kaaba. She got so terrified, she pulled it out and she gave it to Umar. Uthman's mother was so terrified from Umar that she gave out the key. She's here, take the key. Before the key came into Rasulullah, Al-Abbas said, "Ya Rasulullah, give me the key. Give us the key. We, Banu Hashim. Then we will have all the honor of the Kiswa, clothing the Kaaba, the honor of watering the Hajjaj, the honor of feeding the Hajjaj, and the honor of having the key to the Kaaba. Ya Rasulullah, give me the key to the Kaaba." And the Prophet was going to give it to Al-Abbas. So if Al-Abbas was to have it, khalas, Banu Hashim, the whole family of Banu Hashim will keep possession of the key. Until today, the same family are taking care of the watering of the Hajjaj, of Zamzam. Because who discovered Zamzam? The family Quraysh, for the family of Rasulullah alayhi wasallam. So until today, they are the ones responsible about Zamzam, and so on and so forth, right? So Al-Abbas, who is the anchor of Rasulullah, says, "Ya Rasulullah, give me the key." So Umar ibn Khattab took the key and he came back to give it to the Prophet alayhi wasallam. The Prophet wanted to give it to Al-Abbas, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he entered, right? He opened the key, the door, and he entered. And he entered inside the Kaaba. Remember, brothers and sisters, a long time ago when we started this series, I spoke about the description of the Kaaba. And I gave you history of the Kaaba and how it was built initially, you know, by the angels and then by Adam alayhi salam, and then by Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, the Kaaba that was built at the time is different than the Kaaba that we see today. In terms of the height, the width, even the door initially was on the ground, but now the door is, you know, you have to climb up the stairs to go inside the Kaaba. But initially, the door of the Kaaba was on the ground. When Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba, the door was on the ground. So you could go inside the Kaaba from one door and come out from the other. There was two doors, right? But the Kaaba has took a different shape now. Right? When Quraysh, they wanted to build the Kaaba, they ran out of halal provisions. They ran out of halal money. So they left it as is. They left it incomplete. Right. So at any rate, Prophet Muhammad took the key. He took the key. And then he entered. There was one ayah that was revealed inside the Kaaba. One ayah was revealed inside the Kaaba. The only ayah in Surah An-Nisa, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Allah Azza wa Jal has ordained you to give back the amanat to their people. To give back the trust to their belongers, you know, to whoever belong, you know, whoever, you know, gave you a trust, you have to give him back that trust, the amana. So that when that amana, when the ayah was revealed, the Prophet Muhammad took the key and called Uthman. Where's Uthman? So Uthman came. قال رسول الله لا يا عباس. Oh Abbas, I will not give it to you. لا يا عباس. يوم بر ووفاء. يوم بر ووفاء. This is the day of bir, of good. And this is the day of loyalty. We'll become loyals. We are loyal people. We're Muslim. We're good and we're loyal. And then he gave the key to Uthman ibn Talha from Banu Shayba. فأعطاه العثمان خذوه بنو شيبة. He says خذوه بنو شيبة لا يأخذه منكم إلا ظالم إلا ظالم إلى يوم القيامة. Here it is, O بنو شيبة, the key. Here it is, بنو شيبة, يعني the progeny, the family of Abu بنو شيبة. Here it is, O بنو شيبة, the key. No one will take it from you except a ظالم, an oppressor, until the end of time. And brothers and sisters, if you remember, when we talked about the series, The End of Time, one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is the destroying of the Kaaba. The Kaaba will be destroyed. And the Prophet Muhammad, he described the man who will destroy the Kaaba in the end of time. Right? One of the signs, it's not a major sign, it's a minor sign. One of the minor signs of the end of time is that the Kaaba will be destroyed. Why it will be destroyed? Khalas, there will be nobody, there will be no Muslim on earth. There will be no believer on earth. There will be no one who say, La ilaha illallah. So much so that the Quran will be, if you were to open the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal will remove the scripture from the Quran. So you would want to read, but you will, all the pages will be blank. There will be no one left on earth that will say, Allah. Upon those, the Qiyamah will start. There's no more Kaaba. The Kaaba is destroyed because there's no more believers to go and perform tawaf. Right? So the Prophet Muhammad told Uthman ibn Talha after he given him the key. So he gave him the key. He says, here it is, Banu Shayba. لا يأخذه منكم إلا ظالم إلى يوم القيامة. No one will take it from you, this key, except a ظالم, except an oppressor, until the end of time. Now women were coming to give the bay'ah to the Prophet Muhammad, because when Prophet Muhammad entered Mecca, people were coming, you know, to shake his hand, to give the oath of allegiance, to embrace Islam one after another. And then the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, there were women lining up, coming to give him the oath of allegiance. But remember what I said, you know, yesterday. Prophet Muhammad said about 10 people, if you were to find them, kill them. Amongst them is Hind bin Utbah. Hind, the daughter of the wife of Abu Sufyan. Prophet Muhammad did not forget what she did to his uncle Hamza. So he says, if you were to find Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, the son of Abu Jahl, if you were to find Hind, and then he mentioned 10 people, he says, kill them. Even if they are hanging into the cloth of the Kaaba, kill them. Other than that, don't touch no one. Ikrimah ran away. He ran. But then the Prophet forgave him. And then he came and he embraced Islam. He came back and he embraced Islam. And he turned out to be a very prominent Muslim. Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. Abu Sufyan embraced Islam and became a very prominent Sahabi. Safwan ibn al-Mu'attil, come on, another one. Safwan ibn al-Mu'attil, also he embraced Islam. Radiallahu anhu. All those people that the Prophet, you know, mentioned by name, that if you were to find them, you know, kill them. The Prophet forgave them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only that, the Prophet forgave all the others. I mentioned that yesterday. He says, idhabu fa antum mutlaqa, go, you all free. What shall I do to you now? The Prophet who were persecuted, you know, abused, tortured, you know, the Sahaba were tortured, you know, they took all his possessions, all his belongings and the Sahaba's belongings. And then when he came, and then he had the upper hand now, he had the upper hand, what shall I do to you? They said, Akhun Kareem, Ibn Akhin Kareem, you're a generous man. The Prophet Muhammad, generosity, he says, go, you're all free. He did not put a sword on their neck. You embrace Islam. La, we don't put no sword on the neck of no one to embrace Islam. Islam is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. You're free to embrace it if you want to. A man came to me one day when I was teaching in the UK. A man came to me and you know, I was teaching in the UK. I was in the British, I know there are a lot of British in here. I've got Facebook and I've got Instagram. Those of you who are from England, Robin Hood Town, what is it called? Nottingham? Is it Nottingham? Nottingham, right? Robin Hood's Town. Those of you from the UK, what's Robin Hood's Town? Is it Nottingham? I know Nottingham Forest, the soccer team. Is it Nottingham? Robin Hood's? Bristol? No, it's not Bristol. No. Robin Hood's Town. I think it's Nottingham. Is it Nottingham, you guys? It's near, what's that soccer team? Where is a stripe, black and white? Black and white. It's a city, very well known, not too far from Liverpool. It's close to this town here that I'm talking about, Robin Hood's Town. No, who's from the UK, you guys? Come on. I think it's Nottingham. Is it Nottingham? Birmingham? No, it's not Birmingham. La, it is not Birmingham, Hamid. It is, I forgot the name of this town, man, but I know it's right. They call it Robin Hood Town. Yashmin, it is not Birmingham. I say it's not Birmingham. It is not Bristol. I think it's Nottingham, but I need someone to confirm from the UK. Anyways, I was teaching a course, and then a brother came to me, and he says, Nottingham. All right, Brahim Oswald, Nottingham. That's it. Somebody from the UK, you know, mentioned that, and is in Facebook. All right, Zakallah khair. You've said it over and over, but I don't know. I'm just double checking. If I said over and over, I want somebody to confirm, is it Nottingham or not, right? So I got my confirmation, Patrice Bert. Okay, it's not Sheffield, man. It is not Sheffield. It is Nottingham. He came and he said, I saw a dream. I said, okay. He says, in this dream, I wanted to open a door, and this door was so hard I couldn't open it. And then I saw a man coming to help me open the door. Isa came in to help me open the door. I said, how do you know it's Isa? How do you know it's Isa? He says, I know, it's Jesus. I know, it's Jesus. And this guy was not a Muslim, by the way. He was not a Muslim. He says, I saw Jesus trying to come and, you know, help me open the door. And then we were trying to open that door, and then we couldn't open the door. And then there was a man walking by, and then Jesus called him. He says, come help us open the door. And then that man came and he helped us open the door. And yes, he opened the door, and then I was able to get in, and then the man left. Then Isa told me, Jesus told me, you know, do you know who that man is? You know who that man is? He said, it's Muhammad. He said, it's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the guy woke up from his dream. He woke up from his dream. Then he's asking me, what is the interpretation of this dream? And I said, I don't need to interpret the dream to you. This dream is self-explanatory. Right? The dream is self-explanatory. You don't need me to interpret the dream for you. You wanted to open a door and you couldn't get in. Isa came in. He tried to open the door for you. And then he called in a man that was walking by. That man came in and he opened the door for you. And then you went in. Right? And then Isa told you, do you know who that man was? He says, you said no. And he says, that was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came in your dream and he opened the door for you. What door? What door is it? What do you think? What door is it? What gate is it? It is the gate of La ilaha illallah. That's what it means, man. It means La ilaha illallah. Enter the door of La ilaha illallah. This is what it is. So as I'm saying here, you know, there's no compulsion in Islam. La ikraha fid din. La ikraha fid din. There's no compulsion in Islam. If you were to embrace Islam, bismillah. It is the, you know, we believe it's the truth. But then it's up to you. We're not going to compel you. You know, use your common sense. Allahumma lakal hamd. So, Ikrima became a Muslim. Safwan bin Mu'attal became a Muslim. Now came, you know, women lining up, you know, lining up to give that oath of allegiance to the Prophet Muhammad عليه السلام. And the Prophet Muhammad has mentioned the name of Hind bin Utbah. She is the wife of Abu Sufyan. So, but she was wearing this niqab and she, you know, she was covering her face. So the Prophet did not know. So Prophet Muhammad was not shaking hands of women. When men was to come and you know they give the oath of allegiance and on they embrace Islam, they will shake the hands of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, right? But women, Prophet Muhammad was not shaking their hands. So they came for the bay'ah, to give that allegiance, that oath, right? Bay'at al-nisa. So we have bay'at al-rijal and bay'at al-nisa. The oath of allegiance of men and the oath of allegiance of women. Man includes, you know, the sacrifice with blood and self and soul and everything and money and whatnot, right? But for women, the bay'ah is a little bit different. And then ubay'kunna, the Prophet was saying, there was this women one by one, and then he was saying, ubay'kunna, I would accept your oath of allegiance, your oath. Allah tushrikna billahi shay'a. Allah tushrikna billahi shay'a, that you should not associate anyone with the worship of Allah. This is the restrictions, that you should not associate anyone with the worship of Allah. Allah tushrikna billahi shay'a. And then Hind, she said, she was wearing niqab, she was not known. She said, wallahi law kanat hadhihi aliha la aghnat 'anna al-yawm. She says, if there were any good in these gods, they would have, you know, helped us out today. Look what happened to us. We lost everything. So if these gods were any good, they would have benefited us. So they're no good, these gods, any of these idols. وَلَا تَسْرِقْنَا وَلَا تَسْرِقْنَا. Sisters, are you listening? Listen to this, really. She's going to complain about her husband. She's going to complain about her husband. And then she says, إِنَّ أَبَا سُفْيَانَ رَجُلٌ بَخِيلٌ. She says, Abu Sufyan is a miser man. He's not generous. In a rajul bakhil. فَهَلْ يَحِلُّ لِي أَنْ أَخُذَ مِنْ مَالِهِ دُونَ أَنْ يَدْرِي. Oh, sisters, don't misunderstand this and go on and deplete your husbands. Because she says, my husband is a very miser man. Is it permissible for me to take whatever I need from him without him knowing? Without him knowing. And it's not like she has his credit card and she's gonna go nuts, you know. The guy thinks he has, like, you know, $1 million in his bank. He opens it up one day, then he finds $100. So where did the rest go? Where did the rest go? You know, she says, Is it permissible for me to take whatever I need without him knowing? Without him knowing. And the Prophet Muhammad said, Hind Utbah. Because he says Abu Sufyan. So who's married to Abu Sufyan? Hind. And Prophet Muhammad has mentioned that if you find him, kill her. Hind, is this Hind? قالت عفو الله عما سلف فهل عفوت عني. He says, Allah has forgiven for whatever has been done previously in the past. Would you forgive me? Would you efface and accept? Would you pardon me? فهل عفوت عني. Then the Prophet Muhammad forgave her sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Prophet Muhammad told her, yes, you can take from your husband whatever you need. Whatever you need, if he's miser, if he's not giving you your rights, if he's not feeding you, يعني he's feeding you once, whatever. He's not giving you what you need to survive. It's not the luxury things. I mean, نعم, you know, inshallah, you don't want to marry somebody who's miser. You want to marry somebody who's generous. But if you've been afflicted with a husband who's miser, who's not generous, it is permissible for you to take whatever you just need to survive from him without him knowing. يجوز. And then Prophet Muhammad said, ولا يسرقن ولا يزنين ولا يزنين. So this is the bay'ah of women, that they should not associate someone with the worship of Allah, they should not steal, and they should not commit adultery. وَلَا يَزْنِين. They should not commit adultery. And then she says, قَالَتْ هِنْدْ وَهَلْ تَزْنِي الْحُرَّةِ وَهَلْ تَزْنِي الْحُرَّةِ. Do free women commit adultery? She came from Jahiliyyah, Hind. Hind, she came from Jahiliyyah. And even without Islam, they have that honor. A free woman does not commit adultery. Only prostitutes commit adultery. Even in Jahiliyyah, they had that, you know, those subhanAllah, manners and norms. Those principles. Free women don't commit adultery. So when the Prophet says, and don't commit adultery, she says, free women, she's a free woman. She's not a slave. Only prostitutes commit adultery. And then the fourth thing, وَلَا تَقْتُلْنَّ أَوْلَادَكُنْ. And do not kill your children. And don't kill your children. وَلَا تَقْتُلْنَّ أَوْلَادَكُنْ. This is the bay'ah of women. Not steal, not to associate someone with the worship of Allah, not to steal, and not to commit adultery, and not to kill their children. So they embrace Islam. How are you guys doing, those of you on Instagram and those of you on Facebook? How are you people doing? How are you guys doing? Facebook, Instagram, كيف حالكم? يلا. Huh? كيف الحال? الحمد لله. كله تمام. You guys doing all right? الحمد لله. I'm just checking on you guys. Patrice Spirit, all the way from Australia. MashaAllah. وعليكم السلام. الحمد لله رب العالمين. I'm just checking on you guys and see you guys, making sure that you're okay. So brothers and sisters, now came in something really interesting. الحمد لله. أهلا رباب. يا هلا يا هلا. Patrice and Hafiz. يا هلا. أنا حبيبي حفيد. Halal vacations. I want to go on halal vacation. Alhamdulillah, I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. Inshallah ta'ala, I'm doing really good. Alhamdulillah, Allahumma lakal hamd. Hamid! Hamid, my buddy, Hamid Buhu, my man. This guy used to go with me when I was a kid to school. This guy, Hamid Buhu, we were kids going to school. Before college, we were like, you know, just like primary school. I miss you, my man. I miss you. Anyways, brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad, 61 years old. He's 61 years old today. And how long did he remain in Mecca? For 19 days. 19 days. He heard about a qabila by the name of Hawazim. So this was Ramadan, now it's Shawwal. The 8th of Dhul Hijjah. The 8th of Dhul Hijjah. He heard of a qabila Hawazim that was also planning to attack the Muslims. They're planning to attack the Muslims. They're planning to attack Mecca. So Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he heard that, he himself, right, organized an army to go and attack them, alayhi salatu wasalam. And they were to meet in what we call the Battle of Hunain, which is an area called Hunain, about 3 days away from Mecca, or 3 nights away from Mecca. Hunain. But there were two more battles left before the final farewell Hajj of the Prophet Muhammad. The last battle of the Prophet, do you know who knows this? There's Hunain. And there's one more battle, and then the Prophet will die. Do you know the very last battle that the Prophet, you know, participated in? Who knows? There's Hunain, and there's one more. And after that, there will be the Hajj, the final Hajj, the farewell Hajj. And after that, Prophet Muhammad will die. He is 61 years old now. And Prophet Muhammad, when he died, he was 63. So 61, 63. Right? So, 2 more years before his death. The Battle of Mu'tah, brothers and sisters. You have Hunain, and then you have the Battle of Mu'tah, and then after that, it's the farewell Hajj, and then the death of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So we're almost done with this series. Almost done. So here is what happened for Hunain. Like I said, this Hawazim, the Prophet heard that they were planning to attack Mecca, so Prophet Muhammad collected 12,000 soldiers. If you read Surah At-Tawbah, Surah At-Tawbah talks about the Battle of Hunain. ويوم حنين إذ أعجبتكم كثرتكم فلن تغني عنكم شيئا. And the day of Hunain, when you outnumbered non-believers, so you thought so good of yourselves because you were big in numbers, you were large in numbers, but your quantity did not come to benefit you. In Badr, the Muslims were lower in number, right? The others outnumbered them. But here, the Muslims, this is the first time where the Muslims will be in a larger number than the, you know, non-Muslims. And they started bragging about the fact that they were big in numbers, and they used to say, لن نغلب. We shall not be defeated because we're big in numbers. So instead of putting their trust in Allah, the victorious An-Nasir, they started putting their trust in the numbers. In the numbers. So who was leading the battle? Yes, Prophet Muhammad gave him the instructions. But Khalid bin Walid was carrying the flag. Khalid bin Walid was the leader of that army. Hunain is an area in the mountain area. Hunain. And then the last one is Mu'tah. The name of the last battle is Mu'tah. We'll talk about it inshallah ta'ala. So Hunain, three nights away from Mecca, يعني تقريبا. So they camped in a valley, but to go to that valley, you have to come through these mountains. Right? So, and then they hid, you know, in those valleys, and then the Muslims, they had to come through, you know, those mountains with their, imagine with their horses and whatnot. So, 12,000 of them, 12,000. Khalid bin Walid told them, don't come all together, because it's a very tough terrain. The terrain was really hard. So he told them, don't come all together. We're going to go in by groups. And Khalid bin Walid was the first. So the first group came down. and the second group came down. And it's, like I said, very tough terrain to come down the mountain, because they need to go to that valley to, you know, to fight, you know, and attack Hawazim. And then the third, you know, group of soldiers came down. And as the third came down, then Hawazim, you know, came out from their traps, and the Muslims were trapped. They were coming down. Hawazim is, you know, is fighting and hitting. And then the Muslims were trapped between, you know, coming down and trying to hold their horses, and managed coming down around from the mountain and then fighting the enemy. So it was really tough for them. So, and they wanted to retreat, and they could not, because some are coming down, some are coming up. It's that mess that happened. Remember the mess that happened in Uhud? Something similar happening here. So 12,000 numbers in number, but it's a big chaos that happened. Khalid ibn Walid, because of the intensity of the fighting, ughmiya alayh, he fainted. He fainted. This is Khalid ibn Walid. And the Muslims that started running away, right, left, and center. So Prophet Muhammad started calling, ilayya ibadallah, ana rasulullah, ilayya ibadallah, ana rasulullah, ilayya ibadallah, ana rasulullah. From those 12,000 people, Al-Abbas used to have a very strong voice. So Prophet Muhammad told Abbas, call them. Call Ya Ahl al-Ansar, Ya Ahl al-Muhajirin, Ya Ahl all you people of Al-Ansar, you people of Muhajirin. He started calling them with names such as Ya Ahl al-Bay'ah, Ya Ahl al-Aqaba. The Aqaba, when I talked about the Bay'at al-Ridwan, you know, when they gave the oath of allegiance, when they went, you know, for that for the Umrah, and then Quraysh, the Prophet sent Uthman ibn Affan to strike a deal with Quraysh. And then they came the rumors that Quraysh killed Uthman. And then Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, you know, he moved to a tree, you know. And I told you guys, if you remember, that tree happened by where today it happened where the Jamarat is, the third Jamarat, you know. That is the area where the Bay'at al-Ridwan happened, right? So now they came and they gave the oath of allegiance to the Prophet that we should fight. You know, here we came with the intention to perform Umrah, but because of the, you know, the betrayal, we go in to fight and attack Quraysh. So they gave the bay'ah, you know, the oath to the Prophet alayhi salam. So they started calling them, Abbas, he started calling them, Ya Ahl al-Bay'ah, oh you people of al-Bay'ah, you gave the bay'ah to Rasulullah, where you're running, where you're running? Then the Prophet told him, call al-Ansar wal-Muhajirin, because a lot of them are young. 12,000, but a lot of them are young. Young in Islam, ya'ni. Not young in age, but young in Islam. Amongst 12,000 people, only 100 remained with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only Prophet Muhammad, only 100. Sa'd ibn Ubadah used to say, كَأَنَّهَا إِعْصَارِ. It was like an avalanche. You know, like what an avalanche is, those of you who... We live in an area where there's mountains, like, you know, snowy mountains. An avalanche. So they were running away. A lot of them, you know, it was a chaos that happened. Only 100 people remained with Prophet Muhammad. But brothers and sisters, you know what Allah Azza wa Jal did in that battle? Allah Azza wa Jal sent angels. Angels came in physically only once. In the battle of Badr, the Sahaba, they saw angels. They came physically, but not in their actual essence. They came in form of men fighting, wearing, you know, green turbans and fighting with swords from fire. They came. So the angels came in twice. They came in the battle of Badr, and they came in the battle of Hunain. وَأَنزَلَ جُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and he sent down junood, soldiers. You did not see them. You did not see them. In Badr, they saw the soldiers, the angels. But in Hunain, they could not see them. Why? Why in Hunain, the Sahaba, they could not see the angels that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent, because they were losing the battle, but now they're winning because the angels will come down. In what form the angels came down at, and why the Sahaba could not see them. The angels, I said, came twice, in the Battle of Badr and in the Battle of Hunain. Why the Sahaba could not see the angels in the Battle of Hunain? Why they were able to see them in the Battle of Badr, but they were not able to see them in the Battle of Hunain? Allah Azza wa Jalla turned that loss into victory. Yes, they won. The Prophet Muhammad called, where is Khalid? And then Khalid was, like I said, he was Khalid bin Walid, because of the intensity of that battle, he fainted. So they brought him to Rasulullah, and the Prophet started, you know, blowing on his hand and rubbing his face and rubbing the body. And Khalid bin Walid came out, like he says, I was not hurt at all. He went on his horse and he went back on as if nothing had happened to him. Radiallahu anhu wa arda. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory through the angels that he sent. But my question again is, why the Sahaba could not see the angels in Hunayn? You know it, Hamid. You know it, my man. Why the angels that came, the Sahaba were able to see them in Badr, but not able to see them in Hunayn? What would happen? Yes, Hawazim will run away. Hawazim will run away, and the Muslims would take possession of lots of booties, the spoil of war. They would take lots of spoil from the Battle of Hunain. Lots of spoil. Lots of, you know, booties. But what happened afterwards? What happened to those angels? What did they do? What will cause the final battle of the Prophet Muhammad, the Battle of Mu'tah, Ghazwat Mu'tah? What is the difference between Ghazwa and Sariyah? What is the difference between a battle and an expedition? Right? What is the difference between battle and expedition? Ghazwa means battle in Arabic. Sariyah means expedition. What's the difference between the two? And again, why the Sahaba, they were not able to see the angels in Hunain? How many were there? 12,000 soldiers. Only 100 remained. And one of them was new, those 12,000. And again, one of them came, wanted to kill the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. They were new in Islam. One of them wanted to kill Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad saw him. And he says, if you were to do so, and he didn't say anything. He was coming smiling. The Prophet said, if you were to do so, Allah will destroy you. He says, I kept looking at Prophet Muhammad. I kept looking at him. I kept looking at him until I loved him so much. Because again, there were new Muslims. A lot of new Muslims who were not fully, you know, have not embraced Islam fully. They were, you know, trying to grab an opportunity to assassinate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what would happen, or what would cause the final battle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What would happen in that battle? Against who? And the farewell Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the end of the chapter. We will talk about that tomorrow, insha'Allah ta'ala. Tomorrow, we'll talk about... A lot of you came in late today. Lots of you came in late. Brothers and sisters, there's only maybe one or two more lectures left in the series. Go back and listen to the lectures which you have missed. They are all on Facebook. They are all on Instagram. And they are all on my YouTube channel. Go to my YouTube channel, watch them inshallah. And I'm preparing a new series for you inshallah. I'm also preparing a seminar on Zoom, but this will be a special seminar about Ramadan. How to have an outstanding Ramadan 2021 despite the pandemic. Part 2. I call it pandemic part 2. I will have inshallah ta'ala a seminar, you know, a private seminar. Private seminar, you would have to register for it, inshallah, you know, for those of you who are interested to come and, you know, enjoy this very one-of-a-kind seminar about Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. I will share more information with you, bi-idhnillah. So, brothers and sisters, I can't wait to see you tomorrow, inshallah, again. Tomorrow, bi-idhnillah, inshallah ta'ala. Same time, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Those of you who've come in late, please go back and watch the others, you know, the from the beginning, or watch whatever section or lectures which you have missed out. But come in tomorrow, 6 p.m., inshallah. You know, we may be, you know, going to finish our series tomorrow. Inshallah, we'll see how that goes. Bi-idhnillah. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. Jazakum Allah khair. Those of you on Facebook, thank you so much for joining. Those of you on Instagram, Jazakum Allah khair. Thank you by Zora Aziz. Thank you, Nawal. Thank you, Layla. Thank you, Zoe. Thank you, Riyadh. Thank you, all of you, kullukum. The Saidat, Wahman, Hafiz, Hamid, you know, all the brothers and the sisters, Saidan, Patrice, thank you for joining. May Allah bless you, may Allah reward you. Jazakum Allah khair. Thank you, Rabab. Thank you, Zoe. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We'll see you tomorrow. Jazakum Allah khair. We'll see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu fikum. Thank you, Hamid. Jazakum Allah khair. Thank you so much for joining. May Allah bless you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.